spiritual gifts in this area of Baptist distinctives. And Baptists believe the Holy Spirit has given each believer gifts and talents needed for serving the Lord in the local church. And we're going to go first of all to Romans chapter 12. Given us the gifts and talents that we need to function as the body of Christ here in this community. He says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, he gave his all so that we wouldn't have to spend an eternity in a lake of fire, eternal death, suffering in the agony and pain of the fires of hell forever. He spared us of that. So it's kind of our reasonable service to try to serve him. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to be trying to serve the Lord so that we can accomplish his will, not our will. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Not everyone is going to be what everyone else is. And it's wrong, the Bible says, to compare ourselves with ourselves. That's not good. We shouldn't be doing that. Some people are going to excel in some areas where others won't excel, but they will excel in areas where the other doesn't excel. And so we are to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think soberly. He says in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now, if my hand wants to try to be my head, wouldn't I look kind of silly with a hand up here for a head? Can't see, can't eat, it can grab things, but it can't grab very good without the arm. It's got to have the arm for it to do that. And so what he's trying to use is our physical body as an example of the spiritual body, the body of Christ, how that we are members one of another. And he says in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. Not everybody can be a teacher. Some just are not good at that. But some are not as good in ministry as others are in being servants to others and taking care of the needs of others. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is good, which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And so we have not all been given the same thing. There's gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, the Bible says. So we work together and we try to use our talents for the Lord so that we can accomplish the work that he wants us to do here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one, that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Bible teaches that every believer has been given gifts and talents by the Holy Spirit, and we are to try to seek to use those to serve Him and live for Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Baptists believe that the gifts, the gift of tongues, has been expanded? No, it has ceased. It has ceased. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now we believe that this gift of tongues, as it was used in the New Testament time, the early church, has ceased. Its purpose there and everything was fulfilled. It was prophesied in the book of Joel to take place, and it took place just as it was prophesied, and we have its fulfillment. Now, we do believe that the Holy Spirit gifts some people to be able to better learn languages than others, and some are quite good at that. Some of our missionaries, they can speak several languages. I'm having trouble with just one. I took Spanish in school, and I never could get past that, and just one language is tough for me, trying to learn the English language properly and speak it well, and as a public speaker. So some are gifted to understand languages and learn them quicker than others, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about this gift of tongues as it was used in the early church and in the New Testament, as was prophesied in the book of Joel. We believe that has ceased. Tongues were given for a sign to unbelievers. If you look in chapter 14 and verse 22, that's very clear. It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And prophesying is the preaching and speaking of the word itself. Now, notice that he says that tongues were given for a sign to unbelievers. We can see this in all three cases that we have three accounts in the scripture that we have of tongue speaking. We can see it. If we go back over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, we can see it here very clearly. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Did you notice that? Jews, devout men out of every nation. We read on, it says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And if you look down there in the bottom of the notes, we quoted out verses 8 through 11, where it says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And so notice that what was happening here when they spoke in tongues, the Bible tells us, verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Notice it says other tongues. They were speaking in languages. When they were speaking, apparently what we see happening here is that they were speaking, but everybody was hearing in their own language. That was what was happening here in the book of Acts chapter 2. So what was the idea there? Well, it's Jews. Tells us that they were dwelling at Jerusalem, verse 5, Jews, devout men. These were Jews that had not come to the belief that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, that he was, in fact, the Messiah. And by the time we get to verse 41 in this chapter, there were many of them, about 3,000 souls that came to see Christ as Savior as a result of what took place here. These unbelievers in Jesus Christ were convinced through this sign of tongues that Jesus was, in fact, the way, the truth, and the light. Then we go over to Acts chapter 10, and in Acts chapter 10 in verse 45, the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So notice that they were convinced, these unbelieving Jews, they of the circumcision, they were saved, they were ones who had trusted Christ, but they didn't believe that Gentiles could be saved. And through this sign of the tongues, they were convinced that the gospel was indeed for the Gentiles just as it was for them. So it is Jews who do not believe Gentiles can be saved. And then in Acts chapter 19, we have the third account. Acts chapter 19, the third account of speaking in tongues mentioned in the Bible. Acts chapter 19, and we begin reading in verse 1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, these were the disciples of John, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And so here we have those who of John the Baptist's disciples, they were Jews who did not believe that they were to be baptized in the name of Jesus. They didn't believe that Jesus was the one that John spoke of, and they were convinced of that. And this sign of tongues was given to them to authenticate that. Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, all three cases of tongues speaking in the Bible, we have of an actual speaking in tongues, were by Jews. They were by Jews, or to convince Jews. There were the Gentiles that spoke in Acts chapter 10, which they were all convincing the Jews. Every case was convincing the Jews, unbelieving Jews, of something that they were used as a sign to convince them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." The Jews require a sign. That was a well-known thing. They always wanted a sign. Show me. Show me something. You can go back into the Old Testament and you can find them wanting signs. God just show them by a sign. And verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ Jesus, Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." And so they were looking, the Jews were always looking for a sign. It was prophesied in Joel that this sign of tongues would take place, and it did. And once the scriptures were complete, you have to understand that when the book of Acts was taking place, the scriptures were not complete. They only had the Old Testament scriptures, and the scriptures were not complete. Now, we do not need tongues to convince us of anything. The modern tongue speakers tell us that speaking in tongues is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It proves that you have the Holy Spirit if you speak in tongues. Well, the Bible teaches that every believer has the Holy Spirit at the moment they receive Christ. If they don't, Romans chapter 8, they are none of His. They don't belong to Him. And the Bible teaches us that in Ephesians 1, that at the moment that we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells every believer. And we do not need to speak in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost. We receive the Holy Ghost when we get saved. And so once the scriptures were complete, there was no need for tongues. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, 3:16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so the scripture, when the scripture was completed, the believer had everything he needed to serve his Lord. All of the instruction needed is here in the 66 books of the Bible. We have it all. We don't need anything else. We don't need special revelation. We don't need an experience of speaking in tongues to convince us of anything. We have the scripture to clearly guide us. And if you look down there at the bottom of the notes, you'll notice that it says Jesus never spoke, the middle note there, in the dark letters, Jesus never spoke in tongues and never taught it. He never taught to spoke in tongues. But it is He who said there at the temptation, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's how we are to live, by the word of God, not by special revelation or tongues experiences or special impressions that come upon us. We are to live by the Word of God. Now, there were strict rules. If you go to these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there were strict rules that were given for speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. And so you say, "Pastor, well, why were these Corinthians speaking in tongues? The scriptures are not completed yet." We're still in the New Testament period when the scriptures are in the form of being written. And they will soon be completed. And then the early church will take these writings that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth and all of his writings and the others who wrote in the New Testament. They will compile them together and the scriptures will be complete. We'll have everything that God wanted us to know. And He tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning in verse 27, the rules are very clear. It says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. No more than three people can speak in tongues in any given service. And that has to be by course. What does that mean, by course? That means one after the other. That's what that means, one after the other. Not like you see in so many of the tongue-speaking movement today, where everybody across the congregation is at one time or another speaking in tongues. That cannot be, according to the Scripture. There can only be three, and they must be by course. And then let one interpret. There must be one interpreter who interprets what was said. Many times I have seen tongue speakers. I've seen preachers on the TV who were speaking, and all of a sudden they would go into some gibberish or something, and then just keep on going. Well, right away they violated the Scripture because there was no interpretation. There was no interpreter. The Bible says it must be interpreted. And it says, let all things be done, down there at the end of verse 26, be done unto edifying. It's got to build up. It's not just a spiritual feel-good thing to just spout out a bunch of gibberish and not even know what you said. That violates the Scripture. You must know. I always remember reading about the fellow that was a Chinese. He was a Chinese man, and he was in a service, in one of these services where they were speaking in tongues. And he said he was shocked. He said they were speaking his language, Chinese. And he said they were calling God all kinds of blasphemous names. They were blaspheming God's name. They were taking his name in vain. They were saying such filthy things that he couldn't even repeat it. So it is a very dangerous thing to be speaking something you don't know. And then the Bible gives the rule. It must be interpreted. And there must be edifying. It must be used to build up, to strengthen. These were the rules that were given in the day that the tongues were used in the early church. And notice it says, verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Don't bring it up in the church. Don't speak in tongues if there's no interpreter. And then we notice, if you look on down here, it says down to verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. All of this laughing revival stuff, and where they're running around laughing, they call it laughing in the spirit, and running around across the auditorium and jumping up and down and everybody laughing hilariously. I watched one of those one time on the TV, a laughing revival. And the preacher was up there saying something like this, Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And the people were all out there laughing like they were mocking. It looked like a mocking to me rather than a... And he kept preaching and saying very serious things, and they just laughed. Oh, they would... Great laughter would come up. And it was like they were actually mocking what was going on and what was being said. And they call it laughing in the spirit. And there was so much confusion. I saw another service where there were people running forth, back and forth in the front, jumping up and down in the back. And there was a guy up on the platform, and people were speaking in tongues, and they were banging around on a keyboard up there, and it was so loud you could hardly hear yourself think, and it was so confusing. And then the preacher was trying to preach over top of all that. Mass confusion. And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Gerald?
One time you might not hear your days. I preached at 10 services, like you said, but bothered me, but because of my mother was so I kept going to come. I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, I don't want to go back. But I don't know what I'm saying. I didn't say no, I'm not that. But now I feel I'm just scared.
Mm-hmm. I always remember Brother Bob Brennan, and he said that he went into he was a missionary for many years in Brazil, and then he was one of the best soul winners I'd ever gone soul winning with, and he was not a high pressure type guy. He just could lead people to Christ. He just had a way about him, and he was very effective in winning Jewish people to Christ. He was director of the Jewish missions in Brazil and over for BIMI for a while. He's in heaven now. But Bob Brennan said one time when he came back to the States, he went into a charismatic type church where all this was going on. And he said everything that he heard there was exactly identical to the demon worship in Brazil. It was identically the same thing. To the demon worship, the sounds that were being made, the utterings that they were uttering, the things they did. He said he just got up and left because he said he saw that right away. He was traveling, he needed to go to a church, he saw one, he thought it might be fundamental, he went into it, and that's what he said. He'd been there for many years. Remember, the devil is a master deceiver, and he is always working at deceiving, and he does that with many people because we do not determine to stick to the Word of God. We must follow the Word of God and take it as a whole and not interpret Scriptures privately. And so we notice here that it says very clearly that God is not the author of confusion. Verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. In the context here, they're not permitted to speak in tongues. They're not to be a part of that. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And so there, in this chapter, we're talking about prophesying, which is preaching. We're talking about speaking in tongues. They are not permitted to speak. Not permitted to preach. Not permitted to speak in tongues. That is the rules that are clearly given in the Scripture. And he tells us very clearly down there in verse 37, he says in the last part of the verse, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. These are very clear rules that were given. And as you study the Scriptures, it appears very clearly that these special gifts ceased, just as the Bible says. And we're going to look at that a little closer down there when we get to D. But C in the notes is Baptists reject the modern charismatic movement. We reject it. We do not believe that it's scriptural. We believe, you see, the modern charismatic movement tells us that their big push is brotherly love. But have any of you noticed the many charismatic churches that are starting up all over town and meeting in little storefronts and all of that? They can't get along together. It's very long, but they preach and push brotherly love. And so notice here we have Baptists reject the modern charismatic movement, being slain in the Spirit, laughing in the Spirit, divine healers, and all of their false teaching concerning spiritual gifts. We do not agree with that. We do not agree with divine healers. Marge?
I have a question, then. Going back to the disease, you said women are to keep quiet. How do you keep quiet? I'm going to bring it up. How do these lady preachers become preachers?
Because they twist the Scripture, just like the Bible says, and they say that because the Bible says there's neither male nor female, but we are all one in Christ. that therefore he took away that barrier. But in that context where that verse is mentioned, it's dealing with salvation. There's neither male nor female. There's women can be saved and men can be saved. And any nationality, whether you're Greek or whatever, or Jew, or you can be saved. Everybody can be saved. That's the context of that passage. But they take it out of context and they say that that scripture negates the scripture where it says women are not permitted to speak over there in 1 Timothy. And they say that then that negates it. But well, some of them do, some don't, just like some men preachers do and some don't. It's not really a requirement to be a preacher. What's required to be a preacher for a man is the call of God on his life, and then he's not to be a novice. He's to be a man who knows the scriptures. Not necessary to go to Bible college, but Bible college is a great aid, and sometimes it can be a great hindrance, depending on what Bible college you go to. Yeah. Well, the problem we have with women preachers today is because the movement that has women preachers believes that we have extra revelation besides the scripture. And so therefore they can justify what they're doing even when there is strong scripture against it, because God spoke to them. Well, isn't that what some of Job's three friends said, especially Elihu? He said, God spoke to me and showed me this and told me, and that's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to go by what you feel God said to you and not by what is clearly written in the Word of God. And every woman preacher today is a preacher in error, and God is not pleased with it. In fact, it's an abomination to Him. And that's very clear. I'll say it again. It's an abomination to Him in the Scriptures. So, there's very strict rules. We reject all this charismatic teaching and their false teaching concerning the spiritual gifts. We believe the Holy Spirit was given to seal the believer unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30, that's what it says. Whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. There's a lot of verses that we could go to show that when the believer receives Christ, he's given the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Savior that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He would be with us always. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, are all three, one God. And He promised that He would be with us, never leave us. And the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 16 and verse 8, is to convict us of sin. He convicts us of sin as we go along. Have you ever done something and had that feeling that this isn't right? Well, the Holy Spirit works to convict us of our sin. And He uses the Word of God to teach us. He teaches us through the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. Teaches us through the Word. And He helps us to witness. These are some good verses to look at. John chapter 16 and verse 13 to 14. He helps us to witness. God is our Lord. Gave us the commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. He told us that we are to go and to preach the gospel to every person, to the entire world. We have a commitment to, as believers, to preach the gospel. And He said, and lo, I am with you always. And to fulfill that promise, He left the Holy Spirit to indwell us, who will be there to help us in our witness. In John chapter 16 and verse 13. Notice what it says. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. And look what Jesus said before He ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1, and verse 8. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Spirit is there to help us in our witness, to help us to be a witness, to help us to see our sin, to teach us the things of the Word of God. It's amazing that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit moved upon men to write what God wanted to be written in this Bible, and we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us to help us to understand it. I have many people say to me, well, I read the Bible, but I just can't understand it. Well, if you will read it with a heart that's set upon finding what it wants to say to you instead of finding what you want it to say, finding what it wants to say to you and ask God for guidance and help, He'll show you things from the Word of God. It takes time growing and learning in the Word, but as you read it and study it, you learn more and more. Ken? Chapter 2, I believe it is, Joel chapter 2. I didn't write that down, but I believe it's in Joel chapter 2. We'll see if we can find it here. In Joel chapter 2. If anybody finds it before I do, I speak up. 28. Yeah, I just found it right when you did. Verse 28 of chapter 2. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in heavens and in the earth, and blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned to darkness, moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And if you read all that through Job, you'll find where he says that they shall prophesy, they'll speak with other tongues in the book of Job, and or book of Joel, pardon me. And so this prophecy was made to take place, and it was fulfilled in the Scriptures. And then we come to this last point. Baptists believe the special gifts of the apostles ceased. If you go to Mark chapter 16, you'll notice that he spoke very clearly about, our Lord spoke about clearly what would come about with these special signs that he would give them to authenticate that Christ was in fact the Savior and the Messiah, and this the law was ending and we were moving into grace and we were coming to see the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And then if we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, these were the signs that were given so that to authenticate the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in fact he was the Savior and Messiah, and to convince the Jews that he was the Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Here the Bible is quite clear. In 2 Corinthians 12:12, it says, Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. These were special signs that were given during that time as we were changing from law to grace, as Christ came to die for the sins of the world. In 2 Timothy 4:20, this one is quite clear. 2 Timothy 4:20. Erastus abode at Corinth. This is Paul speaking. But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now wait a minute, Paul. We can read there in Acts chapter 19 about you. In Acts chapter 19, we read something here that's interesting about the Apostle Paul. Chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. It says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So he just took his handkerchief or his apron and laid it on the sick person, and they got well. So Paul, if that's the case, then why here did you leave Trophimus at Miletum sick? Why didn't you just take your hanky out and throw it on him? Why didn't you do that? Well, because it was gone. These were special miracles. These were special signs given as a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, and they came to authenticate the ministry of Jesus Christ, that the Savior had come. Look in the book of James. Why is James? James must be confused. James was the pastor of the church there in Jerusalem. He should have known better. He says in verse 14, in verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now why didn't James say, just call for somebody that has the gift of healing and let them whack you on the forehead and knock you backwards? And you know, we could do an illustration up here, and we could bring you up here, start over here and go around with every person, and all I have to do is just push you on the forehead, and the first thing you will do is you will step back like this to catch yourself. If you don't step back, you're going down. Just try it at home. Be careful as you put a cushion behind you. But if you don't step your foot back, you will be thrown off balance and you will fall. And those people who fall backwards like that is just simply because they were pushed in the head, and they're not, if they step back, they're resisting what the healer is doing. So they have to stand stable, and he's thrown them off balance. And just like I can do right here, if I lean back, I'm going unless I step back. I can't stop that. And you can try that for yourself. And that's all it is. It's just a sleight of the hand. There's so much deception that is going on. And James here made it very clear. He didn't say that you had to seek out a faith healer. You had to seek out someone that had the gift of healing. Those facial signs ceased. They were gone. And they're not for today. The Bible tongues is not gibberish. It was languages. It ceased, served its purpose. Now we have the completed scriptures, the 66 books of the Bible, to teach us, the Holy Spirit within us to guide us into all truth. If we'll not resist Him, and if we will listen and read the Word of God and take it as a whole and study it, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we get into the word of God, we have all the guidance that we need. We don't need entertainment. We don't need movings of the Spirit in the sense of we feel some special thing going on. We just need to be faithful to study the word of God and let it speak to our hearts and determined to try to live by it. And when we do, God will bless our lives and we'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. The problem with Christianity today, so-called, is that a lot of Christianity is not Christian, doesn't follow the Bible, and a lot of Christianity is not even saved. Christian means Christ-like, and we've moved into an entertainment society. Television, you sit down on television, everything moves fast-paced, 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 boom, boom, boom to this, boom to that. So we sit down in church and we just hear the teaching of the Word of God and we are bored. We're bored. It doesn't move fast enough. We need to get lights up on the platform. We need to paint the wall dark up here and put up some strobe lights and get lights moving. We need to get people up here when they sing. We need to get them jumping around and dancing up and down and hopping around. And then we can have entertainment and we'll sit in the pew or the chair and we'll get excited. Yeah, but you'll leave empty too. You'll leave empty. It is the Word of God that instructs the heart. Church is a place where the body meets together to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. The food in the Bible is not entertainment. It's the Word of God. And that's what we're supposed to be getting when we come here. Not entertainment. But things are changing across our country. Here at Calvary, we're committed to try to stay with the Word of God and not move down the entertainment trail. Stay with the Word and preach the Word. I've always said, if you don't like that, why, there's a whole host of entertainment churches flooding our city. There's more of them starting every day. And that are coming to try to give entertainment. But we are here at Calvary are committed to give the Word as best we can, to teach it and to preach it. And that's what we're committed to do. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for these few moments to look at this thing of spiritual gifts and our belief that we see in the Word of God concerning these things, that we'd not get caught up in special signs that have already ceased, but that we would get caught up in the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And that's what we want to do, is to be with the Word of God, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Live by the Word of God. Make it a part of our lives and grow in the Word. And be known as a church where you get the Word, not the world. We thank you for it. We look forward to the soon coming of our Lord, and we trust and pray that when He comes, He will find us faithful, still doing what the early church did in the preaching and teaching of the Word. We just thank you for all that you've done for us and help us to be all that you want us to be. And for those who may be here and not sure they're saved, help them to get settled tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing.